Hello, my name is Lauren Patterson, your host and guiding light to self-love. I am the author of Amazon bestseller, Freeing Your Heart for Love, and founder of a nonprofit to help people challenge with abuse and depression. The intention of this podcast show is to inspire and encourage you through my experiences and those of my guests that you can discover self-love and true happiness for yourself. My next amazing guest is Brenda Florida. Brenda is a certified life coach who specializes in helping people break the habits that no longer serve them. Brenda was sexually abused as a child and grew up in a fundamentalist religious community. Shame, people-pleasing, condemnation, and judgment were part of her daily environment. After years of healing, she became a life coach to facilitate healing and liberation in others. She is the podcast host of Liberate Your People Pleaser, coaches one-on-one, teaches emotional intelligence and high-functioning teams in the workplace, blogs regularly on Medium, and offers digital programs. Hello, Brenda.
Hello.
How's it going?
Wonderful. I'm so happy to be here and be with your audience.
Thank you so much for taking the time and helping to show up in love. Mm-hmm. We're excited you're here. So let's just jump right into this, Brenda. Can you share, I know a little bit about your journey, but can you share where your journey of healing started?
Mm-hmm. It began in my 20s, in my late 20s. So I got married very young, 18. I got married at 18, had my first baby at 19, high school sweetheart, you know, it was all very sweet and all that, but very young. So I had had all four of my children by the time I was 26. And about a year or so later, I just started getting depressed, which I'm a super optimistic, positive person. And so that was very confusing to me. And I was like, something is wrong, you know? And that's when I really kind of first got into therapy and started to understand what now I refer to as people pleasing, or some people certainly use the word codependency, and how I had really lost myself in trying to be who my husband wanted to be, who I thought the church wanted me to be, you know, who everybody wanted me to be, and leaving myself behind, really. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, our psyches are not, and our souls are not meant for us to do that. So even though the depression was no fun, it was the catalyst to starting to wake me up, you know, mm-hmm. and that sort of began the journey. And for me, I tend to be a person in many things where once I grab onto something, you know, I don't let it go. So, you know, once I started baking, I'm Martha Stewart all over the place every day, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And so once I started my awakening journey, I couldn't put it down. Like the more I saw and I couldn't unsee, you know, and so I just really began the process of healing. And it's a process, it's a journey, you know, as corny as that is or overused as it is by now, it's still true. It's not like I'm done, you know, but I've changed a lot of things in my life. I started choosing things I enjoyed doing. I started, you know, prioritizing myself, making time for myself, standing up for myself with my first husband, who was really emotionally and verbally abusive. Not that I understood that until I, you know, got on this journey, but he didn't want to change any of that. So we ended up getting divorced. And, you know, I have a million stories that we don't have time for. But that's, you know, that's really where it began. And I wasn't willing to go back into ignoring myself and to denying myself and who I was in order to stay in that marriage. And so I think once, because this was my childhood, you know, high school sweetheart, and we had these four kids, and it was such a little Norman Rockwell painting kind of a thing. Once I was willing to give that up for the sake of choosing myself, then it was like, well, okay, you know, I've paid the price. I'm not going back now, you know? Right. And so it just kept me moving forward.
Wow. And so You got married the same age as well. I got married 1 year younger than you to my first husband. I was 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know what it's like to be a young wife and then trying to raise children and be in that type of emotional abusive relationship. Yeah. So I resonate with all of that. Mm. And good for you for figuring out that you want to, that you matter, you know?
Yes. And, you know, I really had to fight for it when I went and found this therapist during this time I was depressed. I really resonated with her, right? I really liked her. I was sure I wanted to go. And my husband was not doing very well in his career. I'll say it that way. And so we didn't have a lot of money. And he did not want me to go to therapy because it was too expensive. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to him, you know, if I had a brain tumor, we wouldn't be wondering how to pay for the doctor visits. We would just go, I would go, and I would do whatever needed to be done, and we would figure it out. And that's how this feels to me. This is not something I can say no to. I've got to do this.
Yeah. Wow. That's very empowering and liberating.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It really, you know, that's the thing is, because there isn't like some finish line we cross over. It is each decision, each step, whether it's small or large, makes such a difference. Each one is liberating. That was liberating for me, even though it was super stressful. I never stood up to him. I never said no to him. And so to stand up for myself in that, to get that therapy I needed, was very hard and very stressful. But then it had that sort of silver lining of liberation. And then those things stack on each other, right? And then the mm-hmm. next one, you know, may not really feel that much easier, but then when you have that second win, it makes the next one just a little easier, you know, and it really does accumulate.
Right. Yeah, it does. So what inspired you to help facilitate healing and liberation in others? Because I know after your healing was done, which we're not never really done, right? But when you were at a point in your life where you could help others in their own healing and liberation, what inspired you to do that?
I think my own experience and how I ended up working with that same therapist off and on for many years, like 20, you know, years.
Wow.
I moved to another state. We started meeting sometimes by phone, which nobody was doing back in those days.
Yeah.
But she was so helpful to me. And I mean, I think that's the thing. When you're looking for somebody to facilitate you in your own liberation and healing, it's really important to find that person that you resonate with and that you're having that kind of a relationship where they are being the facilitator and they know that, right? They're not there trying to fix you or tell you what to do or, you know, whatever. To me, healthy change always happens because we find that facilitator or catalyst or guide, you know, that can help us get there because we have everything we need really inside of us. It's just like the image I always get is like, it's all covered up with blankets, like the princess and the pea and all her mattresses. So we can't find it. We think it's not there. I thought I was so broken and I really went to therapy to be fixed. But fast forward, you know, 25, 30 years, and I started realizing, no, wait a minute. She wasn't fixing me. She was helping me find what was already inside of me and to believe it and to exercise it and to practice it, you know, so that it could become mine. Like the first time you go into a yoga pose and tip over, you know, you need somebody who can facilitate you learning how to get your body in that pose and then hold it and be steady in it. And maybe even so steady that if somebody bumps into you, you don't fall over. And to me, that's the role of a coach or a good therapist. And so when I had experienced that so fully, I just wanted to help other people do the same. I mean, even in my career before I got into coaching, which was in real estate, I was always in leadership roles, not so much out listing and selling property. Mm-hmm. And so really in those roles, I was helping my agents be better at what they were doing. And so I've kind of always a little bit been in that. I want to help you, you know, take what you've got and accentuate it, make it better and bigger. And so coaching was a supernatural, field for me to go into once I decided to make the shift and get out of real estate and go into this, you know, facilitator of liberation full time.
I love that title. So I'm very fascinated with this method that you have to help others. So what is the Solvit method and how does this help others?
Yes. So the Solvit method is a process I came up with really sort of organically, I'll say, because I didn't realize I came up with it until I'd been using it for a while. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm doing the same thing over and over, you know? So here we go. So it's four things which are not a hierarchy. So if there's anything complicated about it, it's that our brains are used to thinking in a linear way. And this is not a linear process. You can go from one to the other, back to the other, to, you know, so just don't think of it linearly, but it's four things. And it is how we can tell whether or not we're in alignment and with our true purpose, with our, you know, higher self or our authentic truth, whatever words you like to use to describe that. But it helps us know when we're out of alignment and when we're in alignment and what do those things, you know, feel like and look like so we can, our discernment can be heightened. So it's these four components of desire, action, thoughts, and feelings. And a lot of times when we think we're having a problem, quote unquote, obviously this is just to use for stuff that is problematic or stressful in your life, all the stuff that's working, just keep doing that, you know?
Yeah.
But when you've got this thing that is a quote unquote problem, like a super easy example is, you know, gosh, at the beginning of the year, I said I was going to get back to the gym and I, you know, went for 2 weeks or 2 months or whatever. And now I'm not going anymore. I'm going less. And so you think the problem is action. I'm not taking consistent action. I'm not doing the things I know I need to do. I have so many clients who come to me or during their work with me are like, oh, I know I need to do this, you know, thing, change my morning routine, drink less, whatever it is. And I'm not doing it. So it looks like action is the problem. But when you look at action, usually, even if it's something like procrastination, there's actually something else that's causing that. And what's causing it is usually a thought. It's usually a mindset issue. And thoughts and feelings really go together so close. They're almost like two sides of the same coin. Because whatever we think will then just immediately create a feeling to match it. And if we do happen to have the feeling first, it's going to create a thought that matches it. And we've all had this happen a million times when someone we love is late coming home, you know, and all of a sudden you have that panic thought, I wonder if they've been in an accident. And in that moment, you're thinking and feeling the stress as if they were. Then they walk in the door and boom, you know, oh, okay, everything's fine. None of that was even true, but I lived it as if it was.
Right.
And we do that kind of thing all the time. And so usually where action seems like it's a problem, it's really a thought, or we don't actually have the desire for it. We're trying to work towards something that we don't really desire. Like maybe I'm really just trying to go back to the gym because whatever, it's so the thing to do, right? you don't have to go very far to find an article about how good it is for your body to exercise. So I just like in shame or guilt, I feel like I should be. And so I want to make myself do that. Well, willpower just isn't sustainable long term. So that's where we have to go back to desire maybe and say, oh, actually, let me be honest with myself. I don't have a desire for it. So let me stop shaming and criticizing myself because I'm not taking action. That's not my problem. And let me look at the desire. Do I want to just set it aside? Do I want to see if I can ignite some sort of desire? You know, whatever. There's different ways once you're in, once you kind of see what the real issue is to deal with those. And you know, of course, when I coach people through this, we go real deep. I'm very much about getting to the cause of something instead of just dealing with all the symptoms.
Yeah.
And so the solve-it method really helps us dig into, you know, is that really it or is it something else?
Wow. That Does sounds
that
very
make
powerful.
Sense when I explain it that way?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense. And, I resonate with all of that. And
okay.
I could definitely use the solve-it method for some stuff.
Well, you know, the great thing about the reason why I like it and got to the point where I, you know, made it a thing. I have a digital program for it and I'm writing a book for it. It's a really effective self-coaching tool. Like I like the idea of, you know, DIYing it with our mental health. So I like putting things out there that people could go, oh, okay, I get this and I can apply this. But then there's a depth, and I don't know if you've experienced this too, but there's a depth that we can go to with a coach or a therapist that we cannot get to by ourselves because we have our own blind spots. We have our own habits that to us just seem so normal. We wouldn't even question them, you know? And so that to me is the beauty. One of my big missions in life is to normalize hiring a coach or hiring a therapist to be your like self-care partner in life, because not that you have to have them forever. I don't mean it that way, but the same way, if you really do want to go to the gym and get in shape, you don't have to do that by yourself, right? Personal trainers are everywhere. There's no reason to go struggle through how do I get this body in shape? There's just no reason to. It's too easy to get a personal trainer. And nobody's going to shame you for that anymore, right? 20 years ago, that was crazy and wild and only rich people did it or whatever. But not anymore. It's normalized. And to me, that's really how coaching, you know, and or therapy should be. Because, I mean, therapy, depending on what kind you do. But so I'll stick to coaching because that's what I am. I'm just helping all of my clients fine tune their form, or, you know, if you want to put it in the physical, in the personal trainer metaphor, and realize, oh, wait, you're missing here. Let's add this exercise. Let's add this thing. Have you thought about this? And none of us think about those things on our own. We can't think of all of them.
Yeah. Right. I love that. That's great. I mean, I wish we had more time. I would love to hear more about that, but I'll reach out to you privately.
Yes, I would love to. Yes.
But you have a podcast and I love what you're doing with this podcast because I have challenges being a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And so your podcast is called Liberate Your People Pleaser. Mm-hmm. Can you share what this podcast is about?
Yes. So first of all, I say this in my introduction for every episode, there's nothing wrong with you, you know, that makes you a people pleaser. There's nothing wrong. Nothing needs fixing. To me, what people pleasing is a series of really great qualities that you have as an individual. And I have, like all of us who are people pleasers, kind of have similar things in common. Of course, we're all unique, but we tend to be great at solving problems. We tend to be great healers, like be drawn to helping professions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tend to be very empathetic, you know, all these great qualities. But what happened was somewhere along the way, usually when we're very young, those get distorted. And instead of having a sort of appropriate amount of that energy and those qualities that we are using for ourselves and then giving to others, sort of like the, you know, mask in the airplane. If it drops down, put your own on first, then help somebody else.
Yeah.
We just missed that day at school. And we're giving all of it to others. And then maybe if something's left over, we give it back to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what creates the people pleasing. It's that prioritizing what other people need, feel, want, expect, whatever, over your own sense of it, your own sense of self, your own desires, all those things. So like a people pleaser with the solve it method, a lot of times they're working towards something that is not their desire at all. It's their spouse's or, you know, their best friend or whoever, an idea, a cultural idea. I need to be a doctor. My grandparents wanted me to be, you know, whatever. And they're just doing that. And they're trying to pretend like it's their desire, but it's not. And so that's why it's so stressful. So liberate your people pleaser. Just every week, I, you know, just talk about something around that to help. Again, I'm very big on being practical. So hopefully your listeners can tell, even in the way we've talked about this today. I'm sure I love the big ideas about, you know, stopping that habit of people pleasing and getting a really healthy balance of prioritizing yourself and then giving to others out of overflow. But then there's like, well, great, Brenda, but how do I do that? Mm-hmm. And so that's really why I came up with the, you know, what ended up being the birth of the Solve It method is I'm super pragmatic and practical. And I don't want to just identify the problem and even kind of the solution generally, like, okay, how do I do it? And so each episode is giving some kind of, you know, tool or discussion around how we really get ourselves out of that habit of prioritizing others at our own expense.
Wow. I love that. I am following the podcast now too. Awesome. So
thank you.
Wow. This has been an amazing conversation, Brenda. And I'm definitely going to let you share at the end, but this last question I love asking everybody is, I have been like, this year has been like not just mental health awareness, but I'm taking action. So what Show Up and Love action will you take this year to uplift, inspire, and encourage others who are going through mental health challenges?
Yeah. So my passion, and I've really just figured this out in the last few weeks, so it's fun to be able to share it on your show.
Oh, awesome. Yay.
What I alluded to a few minutes ago, which is normalizing this. And the way I want to normalize it is really through media. And so podcasts, you know, certainly the more we talk about it and shows like your short shows like mine, it, you know, the more people hear it, the more it feels normal to say, yeah, I hired a coach, you know, yeah, I got, you know, help with this thing in my mental, you know, health. It just becomes part of self-care. It's not just getting a massage or having your nails done, right? And so I really want to do that through media and specifically television, ultimately, because I think television has such a effect on the culture for what we start to think of as normal. You know, if you think back, I don't even know, let's say 10 years, maybe, there weren't very many gay couples in TV. Like, I'm just thinking like Grey's Anatomy and, you know, just kind of normal television. Right. Okay. Or if they were, they were like that couple, you know, or whatever, you know, it's like the nosy neighbor of the 50s or something. It's the gay couple over there, you know, whatever. So, but not anymore. I mean, now it's all over TV, men with men, women with women, they're kissing, they're making love, you know, they're doing all kinds of things on regular, you know, PG television, ABC, you know, CBS, all the networks.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do with working with a coach. I want it to be portrayed as such a normal, well, of course, why would I struggle through this on my own as if that's some kind of noble act? I'm going to go work with a coach and get some help with this. So that's my big passion and something I really want to start moving the needle on for my own opportunities to share that message and spread that message.
I love that. That is amazing.
Thank you.
You're going to help so many people. Just be like, for people to just be themselves and be able to not feel alone, that they can talk to people.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. And I have so many clients tell me that. I have clients that tell me they keep coming sometimes for months, you know, after a quote unquote problem they came for is solved, because it's the only place they can go and just be authentic, be have no judgment around them, you know, and just sort of think out loud, right? In a judgment-free zone, and then get my feedback on something or, you know, whatever. And they feel so seen and heard, just having a place they can go and know they're going to be seen and heard is so powerful, it's worth it right there.
Right. Yeah. 100,000%.
We are the best part of ourselves so that yeah. then we can be that best part of ourselves.
Right. Yeah. I love that so much. So how can people find you, Brenda?
Yeah. So the easiest way is my website. It's my name, brendaflorida.com. So that's a simple one. Of course, I'd love for you to join me on Liberate Your People Pleaser, which is on pretty much all, you know, platforms for podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and all of the above. Then on Instagram, I'm Brenda Florida Coach. So you just got to remember, add the coach to it, Brenda Florida Coach. And you can follow me on Instagram, which would be super fun too.
Yeah, check her out, y'all, because your pictures are so cute too on your website.
Thank you.
They're so colorful and happy, and I feel your positive energy just by looking at your pictures.
Thank you. My best compliment is when somebody meets me face to face for the first time and they've only seen me on social media or through my website. And they're like, yep, you are exactly what I thought you would be. That's my best compliment because my authentic expression, I want to be really, you know, transparent and clear in all my platforms. So thank you.
Yes. I did want to see your colorful hair though.
I know. I do have purple hair. I know. I love having purple hair.
It was so cute. I was like, oh, I want purple hair, but I'm not brave enough to do it yet.
Yeah. Well, it helps if your hair is naturally white or a little bit of gray, as mine is. It takes the purple a lot easier than other colors.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'll let my
little hair color
know.
Tip. Extra bonus today.
I actually do have a lot of gray. So
okay.
That's a good idea.
There you go. You're on your way to purple.
Yay. Well, thank you, Brenda. I appreciate you stopping in. And everybody, just check out Brenda. We'll put all your information in the show notes. And we'll talk soon again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me today. I encourage you to come back for more love and inspiration. If you love this podcast show, please like and leave a review. Follow me on Instagram at showupandlove to be updated on the upcoming shows. Until next time, remember to love each other and choose love every day.